Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Kid Stories Podcast. I'm Phil Bechtel. Let's get into a shout out. A big shout out to Temni, who listens every day on the way to school. Temni, I think if you were a character from the stories, you'd be the kid witch of Valleytown. And you'd live in Valleytown and have a potion shop there where you sold potions you made, and you and Old Witch Tubes would often go hunting for rare potion ingredients. Thanks for listening, Temni. Caleb commented on Spotify that he's a big fan of the show and that he's a duck wizard. That's right, folks. If Caleb were in the stories, he would be able to transform into a duck, and also all ducks would do his bidding. He would have a duck army to help defend against the bad guys. Thanks for listening, Caleb. Today's episode is titled, They're Back, Part 4. Tim and Ray were growing restless behind the fallen log where Ben-Ben had left them. Ray had started arranging a collection of oddly shaped rocks into what he called the perfect tiny castle, while Tim attempted to teach a small fluorescent beetle to perform tricks. "I think I'll call him Sir Glowington," Tim whispered, carefully balancing the beetle on his finger. "Do you think we could train him to—" A rustle in the underbrush made them both freeze. Ray's hand moved to his ninja stars, and Tim quickly slipped Sir Glowington into his pocket for safekeeping. "It's me," came Ben-Ben's hushed voice as he stepped out of the shadows. His expression was grim. "What did you see? Is Goose okay?" Tim asked. Ben-Ben crouched low, motioning for them to gather closer. "Goose is alive. He's being held in some kind of prison cell, but guys, this is bad. These gloops, they're organized. They've built this entire fortress, and they have guards with weapons and patrol patterns. I've never seen anything like it."
"Maybe they're ghost-possessed," Tim muttered.
"They're not ghost-possessed," Ben-Ben sighed. "But something has definitely changed them. They're intelligent now, and they've captured more than just Goose. There's someone else in another cell, too."
"Did you see a way in?" Ray asked, sizing up the fortress in the distance.
"Well, that's not all," Ben-Ben continued. "They had a map, guys, a map of the valley, our valley, and it was marked with specific locations, the Academy, Valleytown, even Tubes' workshop."
The brothers exchanged concerned glances. This was not their usual gloop encounter.
"So what's the plan?" Tim asked, suddenly serious.
"Oh, I know, we go back to the ship, get the cannons, and blast our way in. A full frontal assault with maximum firepower."
"You want us to drag ship cannons through this weird forest?" Ben-Ben asked.
"Okay, fine," Tim conceded. "We could use smaller cannons, like handheld ones."
"We don't have handheld cannons, Tim," Ben-Ben groaned.
"Well, we should," Tim grumbled.
Ray snapped his fingers.
"I've got it. We could disguise ourselves as gloops. We just need to find some of that sticky gooey stuff they leave behind, cover ourselves in it, and walk right through the front door."
"And how exactly would we make ourselves round and bouncy and translucent?" Ben-Ben asked.
"We could, Ray looked around. "We could stuff our clothes with those puffy mushrooms over there."
Both Tim and Ray looked at Ben-Ben with hopeful expressions. Ben-Ben pinched the bridge of his nose and took a deep breath.
"No cannons, no gloop disguises, we need a real plan."
"Those were real plans," Tim protested.
"Real ridiculous plans," Ben-Ben corrected. "Listen, I saw Goose talking to another prisoner. They might already be working on an escape. What we need is a distraction to thin out the guards, then a way to sneak inside."
"Distraction, huh?" Ray's eyes gleamed. "Now you're speaking our language." Tim reached into his pocket and pulled out Sir Glowington, who was now blinking rapidly.
"And I think I know just how to start one."
"If it involves that bug, I'm not sure..." Benben started.
"Oh, not just this little guy,"
Tim interrupted, gently placing the beetle back in his pocket.
"Remember all those weird plants we've been seeing? Some of them seemed pretty reactive. What if we could use them somehow?"
For once, Benben didn't immediately dismiss the idea.
"That might actually work, but we'd need to be careful. We don't know what half these plants do." "When have we ever not been careful?"
Ray asked innocently. Benben gave him a deadpan stare. "Do you want the list alphabetically or chronologically?"
"Okay, fair point," Ray conceded. "But this time is different. Goose needs us."
Meanwhile, back inside the Gloop Fortress, Goose and Rocket were huddled near the bars of their respective cells, whispering urgently.
"So your friends are ninjas?" Rocket asked. "Like real ninjas with throwing stars and smoke bombs and everything?"
"Yep," Goose nodded. "And if I know them, they're already planning a rescue."
"Well, they'd better hurry," Rocket said, his enthusiasm dimming. "The Gloops have been working on something big, something they call the device. I've been eavesdropping on the guards."
Goose leaned closer to the bars.
"What kind of device?"
"Not sure exactly," Rocket admitted, running a hand through his wild hair. "But every day they bring in more magical ingredients and crystals."
"Okay," Goose muttered. "What else have you learned?"
Rocket glanced around to make sure no guards were within earshot.
"The captain isn't just a regular Gloop. He's got this weird crystal embedded in himself, just floating around in there."
"A crystal?" Goose's brow furrowed. "What color?"
"Sort of a pulsing purple. Sometimes it glows brighter when he's giving orders."
A wet, squelching sound from down the corridor made them both fall silent. Two Gloop guards approached, dragging a small, struggling figure between them.
"New prisoner for the collection,"
one guard gurgled as they stopped at a nearby cell. The cell door opened with a squishy sound, and the guards tossed their captive inside. Goose caught a glimpse of delicate wings and a flash of bright colors before the door sealed shut again.
"The captain wants this one interrogated soon," the second guard babbled. "Says she knows secrets about the island's magic." "We'll come back after the shift change,"
the first guard responded as they squelched away. Once the guards were out of sight, Goose and Rocket peeked into the neighboring cell. Their new fellow prisoner was a fairy, no taller than Goose's forearm, with iridescent wings and bright blue hair tied in an intricate braid.
"Hey," Rocket called softly, "are you okay?"
The fairy sat up, brushing dirt from her wings with obvious annoyance.
"Aside from being mishandled by living puddings, yeah, I'm just peachy."
"I'm Rocket, and that's Goose," Rocket introduced.
"What's your name?"
"Petal,"
the fairy replied, eyeing them suspiciously.
"What are you two in for?"
"Wrong place, wrong time," Goose said. "We came to the island to collect ingredients. What about you?"
"I live here," Petal said, as if it should be obvious. "Well, not in this horrible place. On the island, though. My people have been here for generations. We help maintain the lunar connection that keeps the island moving along its path."
"So you know how the island moves?" Goose asked. "That might be what the Gloops are after."
Petal's delicate features hardened.
"They've been capturing my people for weeks, asking questions about the moon crystals and the tidal pools that control our movement."
"Moon crystals?" Rocket pressed.
"Ancient crystals buried deep within the island," Petal explained. "They respond to moonlight, pulling us along in the moon's wake."
A pair of Gloop guards squelched past their cells, deep in conversation.
"Final adjustments to the device tonight," one was saying. "Captain says we'll be ready for the full test under tomorrow's moon."
"And then we can finally navigate wherever we want,"
the second guard burbled excitedly.
"That's the plan. First stop the valley place with the magical creatures and ingredients. Captain says it's a treasure trove, just waiting to be harvested."
The guards moved out of earshot, but the damage was done. Goose felt his stomach sink.
They're going to attack the valley, he whispered. We need to get out of here now.
I've been thinking about something, Rocket said. See that supply closet down the hall? The guards always leave it slightly open. If we could reach it, there's all sorts of stuff in there that might help us escape.
But how do we get out of our cells? Goose asked.
Petal cleared her throat delicately.
That might be where I come in. Fairy magic is different from wizard magic. They took your wands and potions, but they can't exactly remove my wings, can they?
She fluttered her iridescent wings, and a fine sparkling dust drifted from them.
Fairy dust? Goose asked. Supposed to be super powerful.
Yeah, but I'll need time to gather enough dust. These wings don't produce magic on demand, you know.
How long? Goose asked, already trying to calculate if they had enough time before the device was completed.
A few hours, maybe? Petal estimated. Sooner if I can get some moonlight. It enhances the magic.
Rocket pointed to a small window high in her cell.
The moon rises on that side soon. If you can get some exposure.
Perfect, Petal nodded. Then we wait for the shift change, when there are fewer guards. While I work on gathering dust, you two need to come up with what happens after we get out of these cells.
Step one, get to that supply closet, Rocket began. Step two, arm ourselves with whatever we can find.
Step three, Goose continued. Find and stop this device before they can use it against the valley. A distant rumble shook dust from the ceiling, followed by confused shouts from the gloops. Goose couldn't help but smile.
Or maybe step one is already happening. That sounds exactly like my friends making an entrance.
Meanwhile, back out in the forest,
this is the most ridiculous plan we've ever had, Ben muttered as he watched Tim carefully arranging a circle of plucked luminescent mushrooms.
You say that about all our plans,
Ray replied cheerfully, busy carefully lining up little pine cones on the ground.
Because all your plans are ridiculous, Ben countered, but I'll admit this one might actually work.
The plan was simply to create enough of a distraction at the entrance to draw guards away from other areas, allowing Ben to sneak in through a small window he'd spotted on the eastern side.
Sir Glowington, front and center, Tim whispered dramatically.
The luminescent beetle, now sporting a tiny leaf cape Tim had fashioned for it, crawled from his pocket onto his palm.
I still can't believe you're putting our rescue mission in the hands, or legs, of a bug, Ben sighed.
Not just any bug, Tim insisted. A highly trained special operations bug.
Ready on your end, Ray?
Ray held up a slingshot loaded with one of the pine cones.
Locked and loaded, brother.
Remember, Ben warned, once you create the distraction, I need at least 5 minutes to get to that window and find Goose. No running in until I give the signal.
5 minutes of chaos, Tim grinned. We can definitely deliver that.
Ray aimed his slingshot at a cluster of bulbous plants growing near the fortress entrance. These particular plants had been fascinating to watch. Whenever anything touched them, they released clouds of sparkling spores that made nearby plants grow at alarming rates.
Fire in the hole,
Ray whispered, letting the pine cone fly. The projectile arced perfectly, smacking into the bulbous plants. On impact, several plants burst at once, releasing a massive cloud of glittering spores and seeds. The reaction was immediate. Grass shot upward like green geysers. Nearby vines thickened and writhed, and flowers bloomed and wilted in seconds. The gloop guards burbled in alarm, moving toward the disturbance.
Phase two,
Tim whispered excitedly, nudging Sir Glowington. The beetle, as if understanding its mission, scurried along the circle of glowing mushrooms. As it passed each one, it took a bite. Each mushroom, after being bitten, started flashing all different colors.
Quick,
said Tim, reaching down to grab the flashing shrooms. They threw them out in front of the entrance of the building. The mushrooms grew big like balloons until they popped, releasing millions of tiny spores into the air like dust. Tim and Ray kept throwing these exploding mushrooms, creating a thick, colorful cloud in front of the gloop headquarters.
The spores attracted a swarm of moth-like creatures with translucent wings that started attacking everything near the glowing mushrooms, including the gloops. More gloops were coming to see what the commotion was, only to be attacked by swarms of moths. Plants were growing wildly, mushrooms were exploding, and moths were dive-bombing. "Now for the grand finale," Ray declared. They loaded their slingshots with handfuls of exploding seed pods and launched them out into the clearing. Cracks and booms rang out as each seed pod that landed exploded loudly. Guards came pouring out of the fortress, some wielding weapons, others simply rolling at high speed toward the disturbance. In the confusion, no one noticed Benben slipping away through the underbrush, circling toward the eastern wall. Benben reached the wall undetected and climbed into the exposed window. He could see a dimly lit corridor lined with rooms. No guards in sight, thanks to Tim and Ray's distraction. Moving swiftly but cautiously, Benben crept forward, checking each room he passed. Most were filled with strange equipment, bubbling vats of colorful liquids, tables covered with crystals and plants and maps pinned to walls. "This isn't just a fortress," Benben realized. "It's a laboratory." Benben began silently running the halls now, desperately seeking Goose before it was too late. The end. Thanks for listening, friends. The website is kidstoriespodcast.com. Send all your drawings and things to kidstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Adios.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.